Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you very much. There are a few topics in the New Testament which appear more prominently than the second coming of Christ. It was on the lips of our Savior on many occasions. I shall give you just one example. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." John 14:3. The apostles also referred either implicitly or explicitly to Christ's second coming in many speeches and writings. Paul told the Thessalonians, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Christ and his apostles wanted us to know just how important the second coming is. Christ's return at the end of the age has been the hope of all who accept the New Testament as God's final revelation to man. Bible believers have understood that if Christ is not coming back for his own, life is without meaning, and there is no hope of eternal life. If Christ were not returning for his children, then we Christians should of all men be most miserable. There would be no motivation for living righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world. The second coming provides great inspiration for Christians to live as God wants us to live. You cannot be unaware of the great number of controversies surrounding our Lord's second coming. The controversies are often bitter and angry. But none of this should take away from the significance of Christ's return at the end of the age. We must not allow controversies over the rapture, the battle of Armageddon, the great tribulation, and the final return of the Jews to Palestine to cloud our vision where we cannot fully appreciate the meaning of Christ's second coming. We have the Lord's word that he will come at the end of the age and take his own to be with him forever and ever. Tragically, many modernistic theologians have cast serious doubt on the New Testament's teaching concerning our Lord's second coming. According to Rena Schweitzer Miller, Dr. Albert Schweitzer's daughter from Atlanta, Dr. Schweitzer thought Jesus was wrong when he said he was coming again. Dr. Schweitzer interpreted Christ's promise of his second coming to mean that he would come back during the lifetime of the apostles. Since he did not return while the apostles were still alive, Jesus was simply mistaken about his second coming. My friends, there is a serious problem with Dr. Schweitzer's reasoning. Jesus never promised to return during the lifetime of the apostles. Some of Christ's contemporaries may have thought Jesus promised to come before the apostles died, but they have misunderstood what Jesus and the apostles taught. Dr. Schweitzer, not Jesus, was wrong in his views on the Lord's second coming. Other liberal theologians have made the same blunder in dealing with the Bible's teaching on Christ's coming. There are many biblical passages which have a strong bearing on our Lord's second coming. But I shall concentrate in this lesson on 2 Peter 3. Our discussion will focus on three important truths. According to the Apostle Peter, Jesus is coming again, 2 Peter 3, 1-7. But the time of his coming cannot be known, 2 Peter 3, 8-13. The really important truth about the time of his second coming is that we must be ready for him when he comes, 2 Peter 3, 14-18. These great biblical concepts are knowable by every person who loves and believes God's book. Vain speculations about Christ's second coming are of no value to anyone and often do considerable harm. Please think with me for the next few minutes on the second coming of Christ. The Apostle Peter makes reference to scoffers who will question the Lord's return. "The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. 2 Peter 3, 1-4. In spite of what Christ and his apostles taught about the second coming, there were scoffers who made light of that great truth. The scoffers were to raise doubts in the last days about the second coming. The expression in the last days does not refer to the end of the Christian era, but to the Christian era itself. So many preachers speak of the last days as if that phrase meant the last days of the last days. But the term is used in the New Testament of the Christian age, the age which began on the day of Pentecost and will continue until our Lord returns. The scoffers or mockers were probably not questioning the fact of Christ's return because they had some intellectual objection to it. They had moral problems with Christ's second coming. They did not want him to return because they knew what their eternal destiny would be. Since they were walking after their own lusts, they did not want to face the consequences of their ungodly behavior. From the viewpoint of the scoffers, it would be better for the Lord not to come at all. The scoffers were asking, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. 2 Peter 3, 4. The scoffers of 2 Peter 3 are not specifically identified. But they probably were atheists, agnostics, secular humanists, and liberal theologians, such as John Shelby Spong and Leslie Weatherhead. The scoffers belong to a school which is identified in modern times by the title Uniformitarianism. In fact, it would be difficult to find a better definition of the evolutionary doctrine of uniformitarianism than these words, All things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. According to the theory of uniformitarianism, the world has always operated in a uniform manner. There have never been any catastrophes, no giant leaps forward. This doctrine leaves no room for miracles, which, by definition, refer to God's intervention in the affairs of men. The scoffers were reasoning somewhat as follows. Christ promised he would return. He has not returned. Therefore, he will not return. You would think that no one would be so far off in his reasoning, not even a child. But there are many in our day who are just as far off in their attitude toward Christ's second coming and other fundamental doctrines of the New Testament. Incidentally, if Christ and the apostles had given a time for Christ's return, and he had not returned at that time, we would have some very serious problems. Peter forcefully answered the scoffers' objections to the Bible's teaching on Christ's second coming by reminding his readers of the universal flood of Noah's day. And how does the flood relate to our Lord's second coming? Please remember that the scoffers were saying, Christ said he was coming, but all things have continued as they were from the beginning of the creation. In other words, there have been no catastrophic events since the beginning of the world. Christ's second coming would be a catastrophic event. Therefore, it will not take place. Strange reasoning, if one can dignify such mental gymnastics as reasoning. Peter wrote concerning the scoffers, For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. 2 Peter 3, 5-7. Two major ideas need to be stressed briefly in passing. The evolutionary doctrine of uniformitarianism is false. Everything has not continued as it was from the beginning of the creation. The flood proves conclusively that catastrophes have occurred and are possible. regardless of the vain imaginations of the scoffers, whether ancient or modern. The return of Christ is guaranteed by the words of Christ and by the assurance of our Heavenly Father. When Christ does return, the world will not be destroyed by water, but by fire. From a Christian's viewpoint, there is no question of Christ's second coming. But when is He coming, and how can we know? It should be remembered in talking of our Lord's second coming that men and God are not often on the same wavelength. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. 2 Peter 3:8. As you know, human beings are limited by time and by experience. 100 years would be a long time for most of us. I have problems in thinking in terms of 1,000 years. But God sees the bigger picture. If Christ delays His coming for another 2,000, or 10,000 years, or 1,000,000 years, nothing God has promised or the prophets predicted will be false or misleading. But Jesus Christ is coming again. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works which are therein shall be burned up. 2 Peter 3:10. The Apostle Peter makes several points we must not ignore if we are to understand the Lord's second coming. The expression, the day of the Lord, means a day of judgment. That expression appears often in the Old Testament, Joel 3:4, for example, and in the New, 1 Thessalonians 5:2, 2 Thessalonians 2:2, 1 Corinthians 5:5. The day of the Lord will come. Whatever delays occur, at least from a human viewpoint, have nothing to do with the fact of Christ's return. Since the Bible does not specify the time of Christ's return, we do not need to know, and we do not know. If we had needed to know, it would have been revealed. We do need to know that Christ is coming, but we have no need to know the time of His coming. The day of our Lord will come as a thief in the night. As you know from your reading of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus used similar language to that which Peter used. Matthew 24:43, Mark 13:35-37, Luke 12:39-40. So did the Apostle Paul, 1 Thessalonians 5:2. If the Lord will come as a thief in the night, what about the so-called signs of His coming? If Christ or the apostles gave signs of His coming, He will have to come when the signs are right, or both He and the apostles will prove to be false prophets. According to God's revelation to Moses, it is a serious matter to be a false prophet, to speak presumptuously. Deuteronomy 18:22. The book market has been flooded with books which purport to set a date for the Lord's second coming. In 1979, Colin Hoyle Deal wrote a book which he called Christ Returns in 1988, 101 Reasons Why. This book became a bestseller in some circles. Edgar Wisnant wrote a book with the title 88 Reasons Why Christ Will Come in 88. All the reasons these two men gave for Christ's return in 1988 were 100% wrong, all of them. Does their failed predictions make them false prophets? Can they not read plain English or Greek? The Lord will come as a thief in the night. How can they miss these simple words from our Lord's Olivet Discourse? But of that day and that hour, no man knows. Matthew 24:36. Hal Lindsey, one of the world's best-selling authors, has written a number of popular books telling the time of Christ's coming. The Late Great Planet Earth, Satan is Alive and Well on Planet Earth, and The Terminal Generation. What does the expression, The Terminal Generation, mean? That book, incidentally, was written in 1976 and argues that Christ will come in this generation. What else can Terminal Generation mean? Please listen to these brief excerpts from Hal Lindsey's book, The Terminal Generation. We must conclude that it is most definitely the general time of the rapture. Page 178. Why must we conclude that if Jesus meant that no one knows the time of His coming? If He is coming like a thief in the night, with world events fitting into the precisely predicted pattern for the return of Jesus Christ, how much more should this terminal generation take to heart the passages of exhortation in the Bible? Pages 182 and 183. What does Hal Lindsey mean by the expression, precisely predicted pattern? Hal Lindsey expresses strong convictions that this is the terminal generation. Page 173. Some of the catastrophic events surrounding Christ's return are mentioned in 2 Peter 3:10. The heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The earth also and the works which are therein shall be burned up. The Greek word for elements is stoicheia, and means the fundamental elements, the building blocks, the ABCs of the universe. The very universe itself will be burned up, and that suggests nothing will be left. More is said about this final conflagration in verse 12. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The fact of Christ's second coming is fundamental to our faith, but the time of His coming is of no consequence. In view of Christ's certain return, whether or not it occurs in our lifetime, we are to be ready for His coming. Seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? 2 Peter 3:11. We cannot determine when the Lord is coming back. We cannot make it happen. But we can and must be ready for Him when He comes. We are told that we are to look and to hasten unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. 2 Peter 3:12 and 13. The final point Peter makes in his discussion of our Lord's second coming is an expansion of his exhortation for Christians to be ready when Christ comes. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. 2 Peter 3:14. My friends, please think of the great hope Christ's second coming provides for faithful followers of Jesus Christ. He is coming. Therefore, we must be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Peter makes it plain that the Lord's delay is God's gracious way of allowing men and women more time to obey the gospel. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And account that the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. 2 Peter 3:9 and 15. God's long-suffering, Peter says, is man's salvation. God could simply wipe us off the face of the earth when we sin, but He continues to give us opportunities to repent and to turn to Him for forgiveness of our sins. The Apostle Peter warned his generation and ours not to be led astray by those who twist the Scriptures to their own benefit. You, therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things, beware lest you also, being led astray with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. 2 Peter 3:17. Unfortunately, many people in our day, including some theologians, are not very careful about preaching and teaching the truth. In fact, many liberal theologians deny that truth exists or that we can know it. We must not listen to such false teachers. God's Word is truth. John 17:17. Jesus told the Jews, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:32. My friends, we thank you for listening. May God continue to bless you.